Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle. And a great service department to back it all up. Routine oil changes, inspections, diagnostics. They handle it all. The great people at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Kyle Schwarber gets it done.
Hello. That ball is drilled deep to right field. It is gone again! Another Schwarbomb off the Toyota side. Another multi-home run game. All he does is hit homers. At least after June 1st, it's a 2-1 game.
Tommy McCarthy, another great call on the Phillies TV network. Of course, the Red Sox had Schwarber last year, and you know how highly I thought of him as a player. I mean, really, I was like, geez, I hope they can figure out a way to keep him, but you knew they couldn't. Phillies picked up a gem. Great, by the way, great clubhouse guy, too, they say. You know, and he is within the vacuum that was created with the loss of Bryce Harper being out. Schwarber's been great. He's filled that void. All right. Arizona, Arizona State, the rest of the Pac-10. What do they do? With that, we bring in old friend, and I mean old friend. God, I mean 43, 44 years. Mark Fowler from the Arizona Republic, where he's been the last 20 years. Mark, it's so great to hear you again.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here, and it's so great to reconnect.
Yeah, it is great. Mark and I go back, I don't know, 43, 44 years?
That's about right.
Yeah, something like that. And he was great then. He's even better now. 20 years now at the Arizona Republic. So I'm going to assume, as well-connected as you are, you're taken aback by the news, because I think we all were. Like, really? So what was the reaction there when this happened?
Well, you're right. It was a bolt from the blue, and nobody saw this coming. The reaction in Arizona was stunned disbelief when the Los Angeles schools announcement came down the road. And for a while, it was sort of like nothing was happening. Nobody was saying anything. It was like people were checking to make sure this was real, like they may have dropped their wallet someplace. And, no, that can't be right. Can't be right. And Then the dawn hit. Oh, yes. Not only is this serious, but this is the beginning of, I don't want to call it Armageddon, but, you know, we both remember when college sports, particularly football, went through this a couple decades ago, and the shuffling destroyed the Big Eight as we know it, et cetera, et cetera. And here we go again. And I think the reality started to sink in, you know, a couple hours after the news broke, I think.
So what now? It's how do you react to this? So at the Arizona schools, Arizona and Arizona State, what, if anything, have they done in the past week?
Well, all they have done officially is issue a statement from the athletic director about how fully committed they still are to the Pac-12, and how they're going to continue to work closely with the remaining conference members to figure out what's the best interest for the student athletes and so forth. They are in the contract negotiations with television, as pretty much every conference is, either this year, next year, or thereabouts. And their deal with Fox and ESPN expires in 24. So the timing for all of this probably is ideal just in terms of how much money is sitting out there. And that's the biggest nut that they have to crack, and that's why the LA schools left, is because the Big Ten will pay them twice as much, probably even more, once the new deal is negotiated with the Big Ten, than what they can make with the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has been in disarray, to be kind, for years now, and did not have good leadership, and certainly did not have forward thinking in their strategy.
Which brings us to Larry Scott, the former commissioner. It is now, I think, an understanding. He started the Pac-12 network. That has not gone well. It's not even in the same realm as BTN is. Mark, supposedly ESPN offered to take over the Pac-12 network in exchange for an extension of the Pac-12 contract, and Scott said no. What, you know, A, is that true? And B, what has that led in terms of to the problems they have today?
Well, I don't know that that's true. I have no information about that. If that is true, that was a big misstep, obviously, especially when you start talking about this, and nobody seems to know what it was, this alliance between was it the Big Ten, Pac-12, and the ACC, which is irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that if it's true or not, it doesn't matter, because it's indicative of all the other missteps, from moving the Pac-12 headquarters into this really expensive property in downtown San Francisco, which I'm sure you know is the most expensive city on the West Coast or thereabouts, to the current situation of none of the Pac-12 schools, really, except maybe Oregon, and the conference as a whole have no idea what to do with NIL. You've got, you know, Alabama leading the way, as they do in all things, to what's going on conference by conference, where they are really, you know, kind of circling the wagons and making payments to athletes up and down the roster of all, as many sports as you can name. And the Pac-12, they're kind of twiddling their thumbs. And I just think of Phil Knight up there in Oregon looking at, you know, Rome burning and saying, we got to get the heck out of here, because nobody knows what they're doing out here.
Yeah, Phil Knight, who is obviously the largest owner at Oregon, and unbeknownst to a lot of people, is one of the largest, if not the largest, athletic donor at Stanford. It has to be wondering. But now let's get to as what I refer to now, when these things happen, like Texas and Oklahoma last year, everybody was rumored to go everywhere, so I call it the silly season. So now let's get to this. It's now a question of survival. Going from the WAC to the Pac-10, or the Pac-8 at the time, was critical for Arizona and Arizona State. Now they're sitting there, and there have been rumors about the Big 12. How do you see it?
What we're hearing off the record is that that's not anywhere close to not only a done deal, but where they want to go, even though it makes sense up and down, you know, your pro and con list, right? It's much more pro than con. I think they like a lot of what the Pac-12 is supposed to stand for, things like what we call the Olympic sports, you know, the non-revenue sports, you know, not football, not men's basketball, essentially. They like that the Pac-12, and, you know, they have that ridiculous title, the Conference of Champions. Mm-hmm. But there is truth to that. They win a lot of championships. Arizona State's best sports right now are things like golf and triathlon and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And Arizona, besides their men's basketball program, you know, they were in the College World Series with softball and so forth. Stanford was the model for that, and Arizona State, whose president has Stanford ties and whose athletic director has Stanford ties, would love to be Stanford as a public university. And so that is a big attraction to them still, to be able to do that. And I think they're afraid, and this is just me speculating, but this is what we're hearing, just kind of whispers, is that, yes, basketball in the Big 12 could be a great conference. If you add Arizona to Baylor and Kansas And, you know, Iowa State, you get Houston and Cincinnati coming on board pretty soon. That's a heck of a conference for basketball, men and women. But Olympic sports, the Big 12 is not all that for those so-called minor sports. And they've got schools that don't offer some of the same sports that the Pac-12 schools or the Arizona schools do. So, you have to kind of – you have to swallow hard and say, is this a football move, a football basketball move? Are you okay with extended travel? Are you okay with losing those rivals that they've built up over the past almost 45 years? Do you really want your, pick a team, your track and field team to be going to, I don't even know what the farthest
East West Virginia.
12 school. There you go.
West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I hate to say this. Well, actually, I don't hate to say it because it's kind of been obvious to me for a long time. Football just needs to break apart, not be an NCAA thing, run its own world, and let somebody, the NCAA or smart people, which isn't it's kind of mutually exclusive half the time, run the rest of college sports. Football has to be separate. There's no other way. I've read stories recently talking about how the SEC could break away tomorrow and probably, rival the NFL in the South.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it would do exactly. I mean, the NFL has expanded into the South over decades. I mean, why was it that the Atlanta Falcons had the exact same color scheme as the University of Georgia? I mean, when they first started, you and I both remember that. They had the exact same color.
Right.
Because they needed to. They needed to somehow get people down there interested in pro football. So now let's go the other route. Any word on the Pac-12 remaining 12 by doing what the Big 12 did and bringing two schools in, even though they won't have the impact of USC and UCLA?
Yes. The question is who. And, San Diego State has been kicked around a little bit or bandied about. And, they aren't any more attractive, all respect to them. They're not any more attractive today than they were 5 years ago when this was, kind of bubbled up. There's a handful of schools like that. None of them are going to move the needle. That's the biggest problem that Pac-12 has now is that even as good as Oregon is and as a brand name as they are, they have no media market in Oregon, none. And so I don't know how they move the needle either. So that's what everybody thinks they're the next one out, maybe even to the Big Ten or someplace. I just don't know that they add that much other than, we mentioned Phil Knight's money. So the answer to the question is, how does the Pac-12 doesn't want to all of a sudden become, just a way station for let's just grab some schools so we can keep the 12 or maybe go to 14 teams. I think they have to be concerned about not being a Power 5 conference anymore. And frankly, I don't know what a Power 5 conference is going to mean 3 years from now, right? I mean, you're going to have two super conferences and you're going to have some semblance of the Big 12. And what happens to the ACC? Is Clemson and Notre Dame to me are the two big shits still out there.
Right.
We talked about Notre Dame and the Big Ten for, half a century. But I see Clemson and Florida State as possibles for, a monster, even more than it is, SEC. I think Notre Dame will then eventually they're going to have to make the deal. I don't see any way around it. When all that happens, the ACC is in the same boat the Pac-12 is in right now, and who knows where the Big 12 is. If I'm making the decision for Arizona and Arizona State, I go to the Big 12 tomorrow.
You would? You go?
I would.
Because you feel like the Pac-12, 10, whatever it is at this hour, is a sinking ship?
I do. We haven't had enough time with the new commissioner to know, if he can not only put out brush fires, but get past this and grow. But the rivalries can be built with the Texas schools and the other schools in the Midwest. That shouldn't take too long. And the travel will be bad. it won't be as bad as Rutgers going to, you know, L.A. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would fly from Phoenix to Morgantown.
I think you go to Pittsburgh. and to be honest with you, Pittsburgh's limiting flights, too. I mean, you actually have to make a couple stops.
I know. I have to. I do get back there occasionally. I have family still in Pittsburgh, and always challenging.
Yeah, yeah, it is challenging. What about Colorado? Had been a part of the Big 12, then went to the Pac-12. Utah is sitting there. BYU is going to the Big 12. What about those two schools?
I love them both in the Big 12. You just said it. Colorado has those roots. Unfortunately, some of the schools they had rivalries with are no longer associated with that conference.
Right, Nebraska.
But, yeah, particularly, right. Yeah. And Utah is sort of this sleeping giant, and both of them have one thing in common. They're in fairly significant cities in the West. You know, it's not Eugene, Oregon. You know, it's not Pullman, Washington. It's Denver and Salt Lake City. And, you know, that's attractive. There's no two ways around it. And Colorado and Utah produce plenty of athletes. So from a recruiting standpoint, that's a coup, I think. And Arizona, too. Arizona, a lot of people probably don't know a lot about Arizona, but we are producing a lot of blue-chip football players, particularly, especially quarterbacks.
Yes.
It has been a big thing lately.
Yes, Arizona has been doing a lot of high school athletes and, you know, football players that can play.
Yes.
No question. So Arizona and Arizona State, what happened with Arizona State football with Herm Edwards, and then conversely, what happened with Richardson and Sean Miller at Arizona? How tough an athletic situation is it when you consider to be programs that you need to be good have been going through the troubles they have been going through in the state?
Right. Well, we'll start with Arizona basketball first, because they got away with how can I put this? I was going to say a slap on the wrist, but that's not really what I mean. What they did was they got out in front as quickly as they possibly could.
They did.
You know, they made Sean Miller go away, or somehow, some way, he goes away. And then they made a brilliant hire, you know.
With Tommy Lloyd. You know,
getting the Gonzaga assistant, right?
Yep.
And then they started recruiting internationally, and they turned it 180 degrees in 1 year.
Yes.
And they were one of the best teams in the country all year, and, you know, kind of stumbled towards the end, but that's okay. And they're the most important college program in this state. That men's basketball program, is no two ways around that. The most success, the most eyeballs, all of it. So that makes them more attractive again. And if anything does come down, everybody who was associated with it is gone. You know, if there's further NCAA penalties. As far as Arizona State football is concerned, they still haven't had the final NCAA ruling on this accusation that they improperly contacted recruits during a COVID blackout period in 2020. And so ASU has tried to get out in front of that as well. I think it's six assistant coaches that were implicated, either officially or unofficially, are gone now. This hasn't touched Herm Edwards yet. It hasn't touched his bosses yet. I don't know that he knew, but I don't know how he couldn't have known, and probably should have, right? He's the boss. Mm-hmm. But so right now, Arizona State hasn't signed any really good recruits. I forget the number of freshmen that they have coming in that are signed. It's like five. Oh. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's a terribly low number. Now, they're doing they have a lot of transfer. The portal has changed the game, of course, as you know. So they're relying on that heavily. But who goes to Arizona State? Now it's a two-strike thing, right? You've got this sword hanging over you for the NCAA decision, and maybe Herm survives, maybe he doesn't. But now the whole, what conference are you going to be playing in 3 years from now if you're an incoming freshman? I don't know. this is a very strange market in Phoenix. You know, Tempe is next door to Phoenix, where ASU was located. And it's a transient city. It's very much like Florida. Lots of retirees, lots of people come and go. It grows, it leaps and bounds. People come here, like I did, and bring their allegiances with them. And it's a hard sell to get them to, you know, commit fully to the, I'll call them the Arizona schools, or teams. And, you know, and the state is split in half between those two, Arizona and Arizona State. So there's no one thing for everybody to rally around. That's unusual. I get that.
Yeah.
But so I don't know how attractive either one of them is, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Pac-12, you want to keep the Phoenix market. Tucson's a good secondary market. All right. I think that's fair. And if you're the Big 12, you'd love to get the Phoenix market and the Tucson as a secondary market. So I think those are the chips they have to play, right? Mark, how do you think it turns out? And it's a pure guess. How do you think it turns out?
I think that, if nothing else, the president of the university, Michael Crow, is pragmatic as much as he is a person who likes to look at the future and shape it as much as he can. And he will recognize, as I think you put it, a sinking ship as early as anyone. And I don't know how much influence he will have in the short term, but I think ultimately they have to leave the Pac-12 to stay relevant. If they want to compete, and one of my columnists wrote this a few weeks ago, even before this all happened, if they want to compete at the highest level, they have to go all in. They have to figure out NIL. They have to spend a lot more money than they're spending. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is in a conference that still has a heartbeat in the Power Five world and the New Year's Six bowls. They don't not want to become, you know, TCU or Boise State, you know.
Been far too long. Far too long. Great respect for all the time, as you know, and great respect for your work now, as always, my friend. Thanks so much for the time. We will talk again as this saga plays out.
This is awesome, and I look forward to it, Steve.
Mark Fowler, Arizona Republic. One quick story. I know we have to take a break here. Here's the quick story. You've heard me, Matt, talk about the story about in college how I got the easy A because I did the merger of the WHA-NHL.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a radio project. And I was able to get Gordie Howe, Dave Keon, John McKenzie, and Scotty Bowman. It was a Whalers-Sabres game. You know who set it up so I could be there?
I'm guessing Mark. That would be a Mark Fowler. Yeah.
Mark Fowler.
There you go.
Yep. He's the one that I owe all the credit to for opening that door and making it happen so I could get the press pass to cover that game. All right, we will come back. The King final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that takes care of routine oil changes, inspections, diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It's been a couple of weeks, but ladies and gentlemen, the King.
Yep, I'm on vacation, sorry. We were in a position that I was driving, so I really couldn't pull over and explain to my wife that she would have to sit there and listen to me for a half an hour talk about sports that wasn't really going to resonate into anything that would be good for me at all.
Yeah.
So
that's all right. It's all good. Good to have you back.
Shocking.
Beach.
Oh. Shocking. Shocking, but we also had a lot of stuff last week we
That's
had to
true.
Deal with, so
yeah.
It's all right.
Not the busiest sports time, but anyway, so I hear you're going to the Cape.
Yeah, next week, as a matter of fact. Yep.
A lot of
you
sharks,
do that next
man.
Week. And,
a lot of sharks. You still got
that's
that French
that's
beetle?
Why, that's...
Huh? You got that French beetle you used to wear?
Oh, yeah, right.
You never wore a French beetle.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
No. But you know what? I love to go out kayaking. And you can do that on the rivers. I love to play golf.
Stay out of the ocean in the kayak, man. You're like a cocktail hot dog, you know, with the toothpick through you.
Well, you know, but that's one thing that's interesting about, for example, I usually go to Swan River, which for the uninitiated is in Dennis on Cape Cod. And you can go two ways. You can go toward the ocean.
Yep.
Or you can go to the pond. And so just kayak toward the pond.
We were supposed to go kayak, and we could have gone for nothing because the house we stayed in had an association where we could go, and of course we didn't, so whatever. We watched the dog. So.
Yeah, but then I'll go out and play a round of golf and go to a couple of nice places to eat and put my feet up and just enjoy it. Grandkids all around me, all seven.
That's a fun vacation. Yep. I read four friggin' novels, four books. I've never read that much in my life.
I never knew you were such a bookworm.
I started last year on vacation, and I just fell in love with, not the man, but his books, James Patterson. The guy can write, man. And I just, you get lost in it. And you drink, and I was serious when I texted him. Drink a couple of Red Bulls, and you can speed read. You're just moving right along. It's like, all right, get me another one. We went to the bookstore twice. So I'm starting another book this weekend. So I just love it. You know, it gets, because today's world's so crazy and stupid, you can't hear about it anymore. And it's almost relaxing to take yourself out of it. You know, and be in another world while you're reading the book. It's really very relaxing. I enjoyed every minute of it. And the house we were in was beautiful for it. I had a front porch, wraparound porch with rocking chairs and a totally enclosed backyard to just sit back. So I got everything out of the vacation I wanted. And that was to just, like, forget about stuff for a while. So it's cool. Nice area, beautiful beaches. So.
What's interesting is the only thing the suit reads is his portfolio.
I got a big thing now because Big Brother's back.
Big Brother's back.
Whole new cast that I am locked in. I've got all the pictures right in front of me, so I got names with pictures so I know who it is. And Matt, I got Paramount Plus. So now I can watch the Yankees anyway, so I can watch Big Brother After Dark.
There you go.
I am just locked in now, so how I'm going to fit a book in the middle of that, I don't know, but I will. So I'm good. Life is good for me. So Yankees won by 2 touchdowns last night. That's even better. And the Red Sox lost again with their protege.
In fact, Sean McDonough did the game last night, so I texted Sean, and he texted me back. And just like Steve, he says, because I texted him something about the hockey. It was great to hear him do baseball.
He texted me, hockey, man.
And he said, Steve, hockey was a blast. That's what he texted back.
He did the games at Ray Ferraro.
And he says, tonight's game, Steve? Not so much. And I was listening to the game. That's why I was driving back from the golf course last night listening. So, Sean, it sounds like tonight's game, not so much. he's a great guy.
You know what it is, Steve? This is why everyone hates Boston, okay? Because we have the Boston station on during the day. They hyped this game up like it was the first game of the World Series. They had standing room only at Fenway Park for this kid. He's the next coming of Pedro Martinez. He's this, he's that. First guy gets a double, you know, or first guy makes it out. Next guy gets a double, steals a base, boom, he's home. And you're like, and you could see it just drain right out of him, and the entire stadium just fell into silence. And it's like he wasn't dominating, nor should he be. He was in single-A ball last year, and he's pitching at Fenway Park in front of standing room only crowd. Why they put him in that position is beyond me. So,
panic. Two reasons. Panic, and the other one's too many injuries. They've got too many guys out right
now.
Yeah,
I know, but you hit it first. Panic. Because that'll be one of my leads after the commercial is for sale.
All right.
They're putting all their marbles on these guys because they're like, what are we going to do? And I don't care if they sweep the Yankees the next 3-4 games. They're still way out of it. They've got a lot of problems. And they've got to get that Asian guy out of there, the relief pitcher.
Saramura.
Oh, my God. He walked 5 guys in a row. I mean,
I don't think
Dennis Eckersley said, this is Major League Baseball. This can't happen.
He's right.
He wasn't even close. It wasn't like he wasn't getting the calls. He wasn't even close, and Cora leaves him in the game. He walked 5 guys in a row. I mean,
well,
do the math. Run scores. It's like, what the heck?
Sometimes you make a decision like that, and because I've been around enough because of all the baseball I now announce. You're around guys enough. And sometimes what they'll do is they'll look and they'll realize it's a lost cause. So you know what? You keep throwing the pitches. I'm not going to have him throw it.
Well, is he gearing up for the Yankees? I don't know.
In other words,
because
you don't.
They can't lose anymore in the American League East. They're like 8-19 in the American League East. So.
I'm saying though, the reason you do it is that you're not only managing the moment and managing the game. You're also managing a season.
Right.
So, so there's a much bigger picture as to why you do something. Like, for example, the Yankee-Pirate game ended up being a disgrace last night because the Pirates used, three position players last night to pitch?
Correct.
And the Yankees tore into them. Now, why did Derek Shelton use 3 position players and disgrace the game? Which he did by doing it. He did it because I don't want to waste any of my relievers in a game that is a sorry. You know, we're gonna lose. Why am I gonna pitch this guy, and this guy? The heck with it. I'm not gonna waste them tonight because I'm gonna need them 3 weeks from now. And that's why they do it on a real level here.
We were athletes in high school.
Yep.
If you're an athlete standing on the field and you watch your manager give up.
Oh, sure.
Mentally, I'm pissed off. I'm like, come on, man. We can get up. We can score some runs. We can, you're giving up. You know, why are we giving up?
No question.
I looked at leaving that pitcher and he wasn't even close. And if you're playing in the field, you're like, what are we doing out here? You know, they just scored a run and they never touched the ball. Mentally, I think it drags your team down. I think it's a big mistake for a manager to do that. You play to win every game. That's it. That's my opinion,
When the Red Sox came back and beat the Yankees in 4 in the 2004 season, the unsung hero was Tim Wakefield. Because in Game 3, when the Yankees won 19-8, he told Terry Francona he would stay out there and keep pitching. That way, and this is different. It's a series as opposed to a season. So it's totally different. But he saved the bullpen, and the bullpen ended up helping the Red Sox win the series. I mean, and that's at least in context why you do that with a pitcher. We will come back. Headlines in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Headlines.
All right, well, Steve, I'm going to start off with this. This just in, this is the last time you're going to see your grandkids play T-ball and Little League, because the Pirates have just called them up to be pitchers for the next couple of games here, just so you know.
Uh-oh.
I hope they're ready because, well, there you go.
King, I can't believe they pitched three non-pitchers. That's Major League Baseball. How about the people who bought tickets to the game,
Yankee mostly, fans will be happy. It didn't matter anyway.
Mostly, 75% of them were Yankee fans.
How about 90%?
I'll say 70. I'll say 75. Night,
there were Let's Go Yankee chants that got out last night. I heard over the broadcast.
No. I know.
Yeah. Pius just said, Steve, what do you got?
Jose Quintana shuts down Yankees. 5-2. Delta New York at end of month for prospects.
Hey, I'm okay with that. Why not? We already got two former Pirates on the team. Why not one more?
Just keep them coming.
Hey, Clay Holmes pitched here in State College, baby.
Three of them, actually. I forgot about Clay Holmes. Yes.
Clay Holmes was a great guy. I'm happy for Clay.
King, what do you got?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw the video, but Chris Sale, which everybody knows who he is, he's a great pitcher, has pitched 9 games in 3 years for the Red Sox.
Wow.
Last night, he's of course, he's hurt again, and he's on a rehab. He has a terrible outing for Worcester, which is their Triple-A team. He goes in the clubhouse and destroys the clubhouse, rips the TV off the wall, kicks the shelves down. You can watch it online. He was a man possessed. He's kicking straight up in the air, kicking the, because he couldn't rip whatever he was trying to rip off the wall, so he started kicking it. And at some point, he's been paid $90 million or something in the last 3 years for 9 games.
Right, that's why.
If I'm the owner of the Red Sox, I call him to the office and say, hey, look, enough's enough, you know? You're going to hurt yourself. And these guys are so, like, you know, I don't know. I think my point is, how long are the Red Sox going to deal with Chris Sale and just send him back?
He should give Worcester some of that money back.
Max Scherzer went to Binghamton. He bought now the tradition is, because I've seen it here with Starling Marte and Zach Duke and the guys that have come to State College, they buy the clubhouse spread. Scherzer spent $7,000 on the clubhouse spread because it had everything, and he bought all the players' earbuds.
Wow.
That's what you do. That's what you do as a major league player.
Well, that's what Michael Jordan did. Remember back when he played baseball, he bought the bus. Yeah, he treated the players like they were like celebrities, you know. And that's what you should do. You go in and destroy their clubhouse? I mean, you're going back to Boston. There's no question. They're not paying you millions to pitch in Worcester, you know?
Right.
So, and you leave the place, and I'm sure he's a good guy. I'm sure he'll take care of fixing what he broke. But you have to see the video. It's bizarre. He's just like, you get your frustration, but you're a 35-year-old man. You know, you're not a kid.
You have to set. You also have to set an example for the kids as to how a pro acts.
Absolutely, and I'm sure a lot of them are like, you know what, you made it, and we haven't made it yet. What are you doing, man?
Right, you've got a World Series ring. You got the last three outs of a World Series.
Yeah, right. I mean, why are you destroying our place? We're going to be here tomorrow. You're not. You know.
It was just bizarre
to watch him, and I was just shocked because I thought he was better than that. So
here's my next headline. Kevin Durant dealt to the Sacramento Kings just to teach him a lesson.
He's going to the Celtics, boys.
If I will be vomiting all weekend long.
They're one of two teams that's got something for Brooklyn.
Well, the Sixers do too, but it's just a matter of where he wants to go.
I mean, Tatum.
So, and the coach for the Celtics is very well respected. He's been around a long time as an assistant.
And he's
coach.
Not crazy about James Harden, your guy.
Yeah. Well, I could understand why.
Yeah, nice trade.
Do some setups, James. So.
Sorry, I've still got rid of Ben Simmons. I don't care. Anyway, my next one is another related to last night, although he finally hit a home run. But I'm hearing predictions of wind gusts of 70 miles per hour, all from Joey Gallo's strikeouts.
Joey Gallo had more strikeouts in the month of June than Tony Gwynn did in his career.
He is officially in the dope category. I don't care if he homered last night.
He's
and that was actually off a major league pitcher.
Derby, I'm telling you. See, every time me and Matt say the Yankees suck, they win 20 games in a row. And we said Gallo sucks.
And then he hit the home run. That's really funny.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he's going to go on a run here. Well,
If I'm the Yankees, the one thing I worry about is if I do face the Astros. The Astros have won three of five against the Yankees, and the other two they were winning in the ninth inning. That would concern me. That would concern me because the Yankees, they're a .231 team batting average. Despite 16-0, they don't score enough.
No. No, they have a lot of... they almost got no... Didn't they get no hit?
Yeah, they got no hit a couple weeks ago by...
Houston.
Houston, yeah.
Yeah, and then a couple
the
days ago, they only got one hit. No, you're right. The bottom of their lineup's horrible. So, but if even one of those guys hits, forget about it.
Right, and that's Judge. Judge is just a great, great player.
And he's been slumping. I mean, he's batting like 125 in the last book.
And Matt taught his kid Luke to say "All rise," and that next year when he's with the Texas Rangers, he can say it.
I've now brought Joey Gallo into the mix. By the way, if Luke or anybody did something wrong, I said you're just as bad as Joey Gallo. Now I know who he is too.
And then the little guy puts his head down in total shame, and little Mark, his brother, laughs at him. I think it's all wrong. Daddy's just so mean. And then Lisa looks and he puts Daddy in the corner.
All of it is correct. But I'll tell you what, Luke can probably have a better swing right now than Joey Gallo. I'm just saying.
I can't believe a major league player can't, you know. It's like with the shift. The shift's so stupid. You tell me a major league player, when they put everybody on the right side of the field, can't just poke the ball to the left
field? It's not what they're – you are right, and it's not what they're taught to do.